Welcome back, everyone, to a fabulous new Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper. We are joined by some amazing artists today, and they're here to talk to us about a festival that's new to us, and it's very exciting. This is a very unique art form. It's a great chapter of theater, great style of theater that I'm not sure a lot of people know about, but they should know about it. It's very fantastic. And today we've got four brilliant choreographers and performers joining us. We have Vangeline, Madeline Scher, Anastasis, and Eilish Henderson. They're all joining us to talk about their pieces that are part of Vangeline Theater, New York Butoh Institute, and the Brick Theater's presentation of Queer Butoh 2024. This is happening June 26th through the 29th, and you can get your tickets and more information by visiting bricktheater.com. As I mentioned, this is a brilliant style of theater. I mean, when you see it done by masters such as these, it is breathtaking. It's so great. So let's go ahead and welcome on our guests so that we can dive more into their pieces. Vangeline, Madeline, Anastasis, and Eilish, welcome to Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm so happy you're all here. I can't wait to get into these beautiful pieces that you have in this festival. And so I want to start by asking each of you, can you tell us a little bit about the piece that you're bringing to the table? And Vangeline, welcome back, first of all. So good to see you. Let's start with you and your piece, The Slowest Wave.
Thank you so much for having us on this podcast. It's such a pleasure to be back, Andrew. Thank you. So Queer Butoh Festival, it's happening for its eighth year edition. So we've been going on since 2016. And we're very excited to present this roster of amazing artists this year. Vangeline Theatre will be presenting on the 26th and the 27th our piece called The Slowest Wave. And it's a piece that was informed by neuroscience that was premiered in 2022. And the piece was, we went to the University of Houston, Texas earlier in 2023 for our brain waves to be measured and recorded while we were dancing Butoh. So it has a scientific angle to it. But more importantly, in the context of this festival, it's a piece about women, about the eternal feminine, about the metaphor of the wave and waves and female sensuality and the female body and the female expression.
It's fabulous. What an incredible piece. Madeline, how about you tell us about your piece, Dandelions?
Sure. Thanks, Andrew. Yeah, I'm super excited to be participating in Queer Butoh Festival this year. I've gone to the festival before, but this is the first time that I'm making something for it. Yeah, my piece, Dandelions, maybe you can tell by the name, it's sort of centered around the dandelion plant. And my dance partner and I, Erica Schwartz and I, are attempting to sort of radically empathize with this plant. And, you know, we've been learning about the way that it blooms and, you know, opens towards the sun in the day and then closes at night and then has this big transformation into the, what you might know as the blow ball, the like white feathery round structure that it takes on right before it spreads its seed. And so, yeah, this sort of feathery quality, and each dandelion plant can have thousands of seeds that then blow away in the wind and find a new home and then start that process over again. So I've just been fascinated by this plant and its sort of pervasiveness. It's, you know, widely regarded as a weed, but it has a lot of medicinal properties. And so, yeah, finding kind of the empathy with the dandelion plant and figuring out what this does for us as humans. Yeah, I'm interested in like micro species and sort of imagining that we can embody something that is so much smaller than us. Yeah, and then there's lots of different layers to it. I'm also relating it to gender performance and sort of like the ritual of putting on some sort of mask in the world and trying to understand what is beneath that mask for us as women and as queer women. So yeah, there's kind of a lot in there, but the overarching idea is the dandelion.
That is fabulous. Anastasis, you've got this great piece, Anima Transfiguratio. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Yes, as I was dancing, I start to discover there is something related to life energy transforming through me. So anima have to do with breath, with spirit, with soul, with feminine. And transfiguratio because it's the transformation of this anima in nature, animal, plants, minerals, elements. And then I start to dance the cosmos. I was dancing stars and the sky. And it's like, oh, this is about the vital breath of life. And I started to explore the qualities and the properties of this breath in different embodiments. So the whole piece goes through the storytelling is changing shape. And what gives us race or life forward also takes our life away, and then we're transforming another thing. So I'm exploring that place of breath in, breath out. Breath in, we have a shape. Breath out, we lose our shape. We're entering another shape. We become something else. And I also relate that to queerness because there is something about how we condemn to a certain shape by our gender role. And inherently, we can be much more than our gender role. And that's my exploration.
I love that. That is a brilliant, brilliant sounding piece. And rounding us out, we've got Eilish with Garden of Ruin. Tell us about that.
Yes, thank you so much, Andrew, for having us all on to share a bit about our work. So Garden of Ruin is a new duet that I'm creating specifically for Queer Buto. Thank you, Evangeline, for the invitation this year. I'm honored. And this work is created with a very dear collaborator and friend of mine. Been working together the last 3 years and have found this unspoken language between us that has emerged through movement. I feel I know her best when we're moving together. Her name is Shuning Huang. And so this work is about that language that develops and these subtle signals that women, and in particular queer women, and share with one another. And it's also using nature and the emergence from soil and return to soil as a metaphor for how we understand each other, for how we can navigate all of these nuances of human connection. And I also am approaching this work from the lens of ecosomatics, which is a new field that explores the idea that we ourselves are situated in ecology and this world that is so much beyond ourselves. And similar to actually all of us, we're all dealing with this notion of transformation, of evolution, which is inherent to Buto. So I think it's really beautiful that all of us have this underlying thread within our work that connects us, which is like really a testament to Queer Buto Festival in general. So that's Garden of Ruin.
It's wonderful. So listeners, as you can hear, we have four amazing pieces joining us today that are just part of this incredible festival happening later in June. And why don't we go and dive a little bit deeper into these pieces? And Madeline, I want to start with you. I'd love to know, what has it been like developing your piece, Dandelions?
Yeah, I mean, I work within a lot of different mediums of dance, you know, Buto being very prominent for me, but I also have a background in contemporary dance and theater. And so these forms are sort of emerging in this process for me. And even elements of humor kind of come into the room. And yeah, I think for me, it's a combination of a lot of improvisation, you know, working with a score to generate movement and to generate different kind of textures and qualities of movement or of kind of mental space. And then also sometimes I work just from a visual image, you know, kind of wanting to having an image that's come to mind that I'm trying to capture. Lately, I've been working also a lot from text. I'm really influenced by Gertrude Stein at the moment, and she has a book, Tender Buttons, that is this poetic prose where the words are sort of taking on a meaning beyond themselves. They're very familiar words rooted in everyday kind of almost domestic life, things taking place inside of a kitchen or in a bedroom. And I'm really interested in this poetry. And so sometimes I'll create choreographic sequences that are derived from text, you know, both the kind of meaning of the text, but then also just the rhythm that the text provides. And so that kind of unlocks this different relationship to rhythm, which I find really exciting. And then also sometimes it's about playing dress up and putting on costumes. I mean, because I'm talking about gender performance, sometimes just trying on clothing that kind of puts me into a particular feminine or masculine energy kind of helps to unlock a different way of relating to each other, Eric and I, and also to the space that we're inhabiting. So yeah, there's lots of ways in, and I'm still developing. It's still in process. So I'm really curious to see how it's going to take form. I'm also working with a composer on this project named Leo Hardman Hill. And so we've been talking about layering different textures of voice, because I am using text a lot in this work. As far as the generating process, we might bring some of that text into the sound that will be scoring the piece. So yeah, there's going to be voice and some found sound, sort of like environmental sounds. So yeah, we'll see how it takes shape in the end.
Fantastic. I love all that. Eilish, how about you? What has it been like developing your piece, Garden of Ruin?
Sure. For me, similar to Madeline, I'm pulling also from a background as well as a contemporary mover and dancer. And so some of that vocabulary has informed the inception of my process, but truly it's just my collaborator and I working with improvisation. I write a lot of my own poetry, actually. And so sometimes we take words and just improvise, meditate on the word for a segment of time and share and mirror with one another. But oftentimes it's very just intuitive. My collaborator Shining and I, we just start to establish an energy in the environment in that space and that time, and we follow it. I've also been working with some archival footage and documentaries which document insect life, because I'm really interested in the metamorphosis that insects and caterpillars into butterflies. And so we've been using some of this movement from this archival footage to inspire segments of the piece as well. And we give them names and we just kind of Tetris them into the work in a way. So that's been one approach. But thus far, it's just been an organic process of improvisation, deriving material, and still the work is very much in a space of fluidity, and we're going to start distilling it soon. But at the moment, it's still doing this, and I imagine even after the performance, it's going to, maybe if it's a podcast, you won't be able to see my hand gesture, but this space of shifting and evolving. And again, once the performance has concluded, it may take on a new life after that as well. So I'm excited for that journey.
That's fabulous. Anastasis, can you tell us a bit about what it's been like developing your piece, Anima Transfiguratio?
Yes, I start looking at animal videos and I start to be fascinated by the fact that there are so many archetypes or attitudes that are really specific to each animal. And I have this fascination for a while from animals. I pass through rocks and then I pass through all the natural world and I start to collect little videos. And when I go into dance, I see the video and this is my choreography. And I am asking myself questions. If I was an animal and live in that landscape, if I was that rock, if I was a star, if I was a star in the afternoon, what would happen to me? And then I dance that sensation. And then sometimes literally I imitate as best as I can the shape of the animal, because they have ways in the body that I don't have in my body. I cannot make my hands like wings, but that's the game. I go and then I make my hands in such a way that looks like the wing of a flamenco or something like that. And I move looking at how it is to embody these different lives. And after that, I was just looking at the whole piece, editing, cutting. And then that's the other part of the work, is looking at oneself and having the criteria to know, well, what can I offer and what stays with me? What is part of my gift and what is part of this communion that, you know, as artists, we find a lot of material that we might not show, but that's like the nurturing current of the whole piece, these secrets that we start to share with whatever spirit, or I don't know how you want to call it, life force that comes in the pieces. And that's my relationship to how I discovered this piece.
Fabulous. Evangeline, I want to bring you back into the conversation now. And I'm curious to know, I mean, this is not our first, you know, run with you. We had the beautiful opportunity to speak with you recently on a multimedia show earlier in the year. But with your piece, The Slowest Wave, is there a message or thought you hope that audiences will take away from this?
Well, this piece was developed in 2022, but the message is the same. I mean, for me, it was developed for 7 dancers. And in this incarnation, we will be dancing with 3 dancers, myself and 2 new dancers, Maitlin Jordan and Monica Cherda. And I'm hoping in the future we perform it again with more dancers. But I'm very interested in the idea of the female body as a landscape. And, you know, with the metaphor of the ocean and the wave and all that it can represent, that we are connected to nature as women very deeply, like waves of desire and waves of transformation, and that we're constantly evolving and following these waves. There's also the idea of sound wave. The piece was composed by my dear friend Ray Sweeten, and it has very specific electronic and nature soundscape that's very unique. But the takeaway for me is, what is our relationship to nature, to the environment, to each other? And I think that women carry within their bodies a very deep and sacred connection to nature and to these waves. I almost think of that piece as like a temple dance, you know, a sacred dance, and hoping to really touch the audience on that level, because as women dancers, I think of ourselves almost like a temple dancers, priestesses, that we can reach and touch people on that very sacred level. So it's not so much a message as I'm hoping that people can receive this transmission and almost remember themselves on that very sacred, deep level and our connection to each other and nature.
It's beautiful. Madeline, how about you? What's the message or thought you hope audiences take away from Dandelions?
I think similarly to what Evangeline was saying and what the others have said, you know, we're all pointing out this connection between natural processes and human life. And of course, humans are part of nature. And yet there is this kind of separation that, you know, living in society makes us feel. And so kind of bringing back empathy for the environment is what I'm hoping comes across. And I think also I'm hoping that there's some sense of absurdity and humor and kind of bittersweetness and the sort of convergence of multiple emotions in one. Yeah, my work tends to be somewhere at the intersection of like comedy and tragedy. And so I'm hoping to allow audiences to have that access point.
Anastasis, I would love to come to you for this next question. And I would love to know, who do you hope have access to your piece?
The beginning of creating this dance piece, the first is me. I hope to have access to the mysteries that I'm touching. And it's very much a kind of offering to my life path. That's the first, because through this art form, Buto, I start to recognize some very important truths about nature and life that I am grateful to be in communication with. After that, the persons that will come to the Buto Queer Festival will be the ones that will receive this piece. And then if I continue touring the piece, other places, other peoples will receive it. I don't have a thought of who have access to it specifically. I hope anybody that come and see can have access to it. And I am also presenting the piece here in Mexico, where I live, in Zipolite, in a place called El Teatro at Camp. And that's the first time I'm going to present. The work in progress is still happening. Then the official premiere is going to be in the Buto Queer Festival. And something about access is really interesting, because not because you see something, you already have access to it. So honestly, I think the people that is going to have access to it is those who are in alignment with the vibration of what I'm offering. Not necessarily all art is for everybody at all times. So there might be somebody that sees this and is deeply touched, because they are also looking at the same mystery that I'm looking at, or they are resonating or listening in that same wavelength. There might be people that saw it, but nothing happened. And that's the quality of relationship. That's when I dance, is a relationship. So the people that receive me, we establish a relationship for a moment. I gave something and they said yes to it. So that's what I think is the relationship to offering something and access.
That is so wonderful. Eilish, can you tell us who you hope have access to Garden of Ruin?
Honestly, I don't know if I can improve on this answer. I think she said it best the way she just said it. Whoever is meant to receive it will receive it.
That is a brilliant thought. I'm going to put that on a t-shirt for this festival. You know, market the heck out of it. No, I love that. And bringing us home on this first part, Vangeline, I want to ask, who do you hope have access not only to your piece, The Slowest Wave, but to the festival as a whole?
Of course, we will have New Yorkers come to see the festival. And by the way, I want to remind everyone to get your tickets, because we tend to sell out. And it's a smaller house, only 40 seats. So get your tickets today. Get them soon. We will sell out for sure, even though we have 4 days. Yeah, it's a real complicated question. You know, we can look at it from the perspective of 3D. Who is actually coming into the space is exactly as Anastasis mentioned, the people who are meant to receive it. All I know is we're going to be sold out. And I visualize and I know we're going to have a packed house. In general, in the context of the festival, I want to talk a little bit about the arc of the festival and where we are today in terms of reception and cultivation of community. It's more a little bit where I am, because this is the 8th year that we're doing Queer Buto. And I'm very, very proud of this festival and how it's continued to grow and we continue to reach audiences. In particular, this year, I'm really happy to bring in this newer generation of female artists from all over the world. And I view it as a chance to pass the torch and saying we continue to bring artists in to develop, to nurture the next generation of Buto dancers. That's really important to me, which means we at the same time have to continue cultivating the community as we do with workshops and classes and that are happening all year round. Buto is alive and well in New York City. Buto is alive and well in the world, and it's a necessary art form. So I view this as a joining of different flames, as a coming together of people that are meant to give and receive, for sure.
Interview, we love giving our listeners a chance to get to know our guests a little bit better. Pull the curtains back, if you will. And I want to jump right to my favorite question to ask guests. And that, of course, is What is your favorite theater memory?
Okay, I can start with that. So actually, there are two theater memories. I learned theater in Venezuela, where I am from, with a teacher that created a theater called the Unknown Theater, El Teatro Desconocido. And the first time I performed, when I did in his theater, I remember this strange moment of doing my piece and almost feeling as if I left my body, which I couldn't come back for like 2 days. And I went to sleep feeling that absolutely everything was able almost to come out and talk to me. I don't know, it was a strange, very strange moment. I remember the amount of intensity I had when I was performing and looking at the people I was performing for. And something happened, like something strange and magical, that the world became this enchanted place. I remember looking at a book and the images of the book will almost move. It was very strange and I was a little scared. But when I understood that is, well, for a reason, the world of Dionysus, which is the world of the theater, is this place of something goes out of time and belongs to the time, I don't know, a cosmic time, some other time. And then the second memory is looking at my theater performing and me just crying, understanding that my life, if my life was not so honest as what he was showing me in his theater, I could not live. That was very important to see that moment of, wow, there is so much truth that I can embody if I can live like this person is showing me. Juan de Petre is my teacher. Well, thank you for that. Yeah.
Those were amazing. Thank you so much for those incredible memories.
I can share a bit. So I think for me, one memory sticks out. Like I mentioned before, I come from a contemporary dance background, and I had created a new work in 2022 with 6 dancers. And this was the first time that I was presenting work on a larger scale stage in New York. And I wanted my dancers to start in the audience of the theater, but sitting in the chairs. So they were immersed in the audience, and each of them are doing different things. But if you were next to them as an audience member, you would know that this was something strange happening next to you. Like, this is not just a regular audience member sitting here. And I just remembered, even with only 6 dancers dispersed in this large theater, I felt I could see it. I wasn't part of the dance. I could see it from far back in the theater. The audience members around my dancers started to stir, and they started to have these moments of questioning and shifting in the space. And I think I was actually most excited in that moment compared to even when my dancers eventually made it up onto the stage to perform a piece. But I was most enthralled by just seeing these 6 sections where my dancers were sitting start to ignite something in them physically. Because ultimately, I mean, as movers and as humans, we want to mirror each other. So if I can get an audience to mirror a performer, then maybe I've started to do something that's in the right direction. So that stir, that questioning, I was very excited about.
Oh, I love that. That's so wonderful. Thank you. Well, thank you all so much for those wonderful memories. Those were absolutely fantastic. Well, as we wrap things up, I would love to know if our listeners would like more information about Queer Buto 2024 or about any of your shows or any of you, maybe they'd like to reach out to you. How can they do so? So, Vangeline, can we start with you and your piece, The Slowest Wave?
So people can buy tickets for the Queer Buto Festival at either vangeline.com or the Brick the BRIC website, but going to vangeline.com is the surest bet. People can buy tickets for all performances, 26, 27, 28, 29. The Slowest Wave will be performed only on the first two nights on June 26 and 27 at 8 p.m. And our three wonderful artists will be performing their pieces on the 28th and the 29th.
Eilish, what about you? If our listeners maybe want to reach out to you or get more information, how can they do so?
Sure. So listeners, if you are curious more about my work, I have a project-based dance collective that you can keep up with. It's very fresh, very new. It's called Shadow Swell, and it's shadowswell_ at the end on Instagram. And I also have a website, which is eilishadonnahenderson.com. And you can find all of my information, my projects, and upcoming events and performances all on my website.
Bringing us home on this, Anastasis, how can people get a hold of you or get more information about you or your piece?
Yes, the tickets are in the Vangeline Theater website. They can buy the tickets there soon because they are soon running out, you say in English? Yes. So let me start again. People can buy the tickets in the Vangeline Theater website. There is information about my piece and the piece of my other fellow dancers. And personally, if the listeners want to know more about my work, in Instagram, Anastasis_Jubilante, I will type it here. You can see more of what I am creating and doing. And here in Mexico, I open Butó Sanctuary, and it will be open twice a year, in the spring and on the fall. And there is also information about what I'm doing and also other artists. For example, Vangeline is coming here to the Butó Sanctuary next week, starting on the 24th until the 28th. So butosanctuary.org or my Instagram.
Wonderful. Well, Vangeline, Anastasis, Eilish, and of course, Madeline, who had to leave early, thank you all so much for joining me today, for sharing this wonderful festival again that's new to me that I'm so excited about, and your incredible pieces. Each one is just so dynamic and so fantastic. So I thank you all so much for taking the time to speak with me today.
Thank you, Andrew, for having us. We're so happy that all these listeners are gonna hear about this festival. Thank you so much.
My guests today have been choreographers and performers that are part of the Queer Butó 2024, which is being presented by Vangeline Theater, New York Butó Institute, and the BRIC Theater. It's happening June 26th through the 29th, and you can get your tickets and more information by visiting bricktheater.com or vangeline.com. We also have contact information and dates of each of our guest performances, which will be listed in the episode description, as well as on our social media posts. But you're going to want to run, not walk. Head over and get your tickets now. This is going to sell out. It's one of the hottest tickets in town. It's for the Queer Butó 2024, happening June 26th through the 29th. So until next time, I'm Andrew Cortez, reminding you to turn off your cell phones,
unwrap your candies,
and keep talking about the theater
in a stage whisper.
Thank you.
If you like what you hear, please leave a 5-star review, like, and subscribe.
You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram at Stage Whisper Pod.
And feel free to reach out to us with your comments and personal stories at stagewhisperpod@gmail.com.
And be sure to check out our website for all things Stage Whisper and theater. You'll be able to find merchandise, tours, tickets, and more. Simply visit stagewhisperpod.com. Our theme song is Maniac by Jazzar. Other music on this episode provided by Jazzar and Billy Murray. You can also become a patron of our show by logging on to patreon.com/stagewhisperpod. There you will find all the information about our backstage pass as well as our tip jar. Thank you so much for your generosity. We could not do this show without you.